book of John. And thanking God again for this opportunity to be led of the Spirit. And I thank God that, you know, it's wonderful to trust Him. In where He leads, we'll follow. And I am thankful and grateful to God that there's no planning, because He's already got the plan. We just need to show up and thanking the Lord that that's the special part of really believing God is faith is an amazing thing. And He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. But tonight we're going to begin the study of this book of John. And the name John is a wonderful thing to really focus on as we begin. John means Jehovah, the giver of grace. Isn't that wonderful? I sure like that. And I thank God, again, all by God's grace, that I do understand that and I believe that. And praise the Lord, that's when you can get somewhere. That's when the Lord can write some word in your life. And even like John writes some word through your life, when you realize that Jesus Christ is the giver of grace. And notice, He's the giver of grace. And that's grace for grace. That's grace upon grace. Because that's what grace is it's giving something that is absolutely unmerited, undeserved. But what a double portion gift it is. And really with John and in his gospel, I believe we'll understand how this precious one was encouraged in such a way, again, all through the Holy Ghost, but really began to open up a lot of the double portion that we enjoy today. And I thank God for that. But see, this brother saw that the Word, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is the one that gives grace. And I thank God that from John we get that statement, Jesus Christ full of grace and truth. How powerful and how wonderful. I know some people see Jesus as someone that's just waiting for Him to mess up and ready to just correct me with the big hard switch and all of these different things. But Jesus Christ full of grace and truth. And I think that's so marvelous because, you know, brothers and sisters, without grace, we cannot receive truth. And He's all grace and He is all truth. And that's how and what God is will understand tonight. He had to give His Son because God can only receive His Son. The only thing that God can accept is His Son. And thanks be to God that that was the offering and gift that God gave to us when He gave everything to us. He gave us His Son. Now, we'll find out that in being full of grace and truth, that Christ is all in all. He is, I am. And how wonderful as we get into this, and maybe beyond any of the other Gospels, the Holy Ghost wrote through the heart and the hand of John, Jesus the Word. And really what I pray that would resonate in us even the much the more is it's all in the Word of God. It's all in and by the Word of God. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the Word of His grace that builds us up and gives us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. So we understand it's the Word of God. See, this isn't a walk of feeling. It's a walk of faith. And when we walk in faith, oh, what feeling we have. That's the beautiful thing. It's not that we go through and we're just numb to things. Oh, no, we feel. And we love with a great love because we love with the very love of Jesus. As Jesus wept even at the departing of Lazarus, in a sense, He understood and He knows our infirmities and all of these different things. But brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. It's all in the Word of God. And then, praise the Lord, it's all the Word in us. The Gospel of John, as I kind of mentioned just a moment ago, is a paramount platform for us to really begin and being established that it is the Word of God, that it is the Word of His grace, as it says in Acts 20:32, that gives us this inheritance. And I want you to think about this. what is really, so many things revealed in John, but such paramount truth that's revealed in John. And I believe most of us here tonight, if not all of us, understand these things. But you think about in John, how it was given to us that the coming of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That was revealed, obviously, in John and told to us very clearly in this wonderful Gospel of John about the Holy Ghost and Him coming. That's John 16:7, as Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter or the Holy Ghost will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." See, why people want to wrestle with the Holy Ghost being sent at that time for the infilling of the Holy Ghost in the evidence of the speaking in tongues and in the power of His might to be led into all truth, I just don't know. Because it tells it very clearly that Jesus Christ had to, He had to go. He had to ascend to the right hand of God in order for Him. Did you notice that? Isn't it wonderful? To send the Comforter to us. Praise the Lord. And then we go on in John, and we know intimately that the purpose of the Holy Ghost was told to the disciples here in John, that they would be guided into all truth. Again, right there in the 16th chapter of John, in the 13th verse, Jesus, or go back to the 12th verse, Jesus said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." Isn't that wonderful? So we see, as we're going to begin here in a moment, "In the beginning was the Word." It's about the Word. And praise God, it's about much the more of the Word of God. It's about life and life more abundantly. And this is what this precious gospel brings to us in such encouragement, brothers and sisters. And this is why, as we'll talk about maybe a little bit later on as well, that this John sees Jesus Christ as the overcomer. This John, being the fourth gospel, matches right up with the fourth beast in Revelation. And we understand that those four living creatures, those four beasts, are wondrously the type and the shadow and that company, praise God, of the bride of Christ that will rule and to reign jointly with Him in the midst of the throne. And how wondrous it is, the encouragement of this in John. How do we become full overcomers? It's the Word of God and the power of His might. Amen. It's the Word alive and living in us. It's this Word, praise God, through the power of the Holy Ghost that leads us into all truth. Think of what this precious, wonderful gospel was priming us for, in a sense, of all truth, getting ready to introduce us to the Apostle Paul. Isn't that wonderful? See, without this wondrous Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, without the infilling, there would be no possibility to go into all truth. And we need to quit wrestling with that. We need to believe the Word of God. And that's why this is such a powerful book. This is why this is such a powerful statement right at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word. It's all the Word of God. And I thank the Lord for these things. And then it goes on to tell us that the Spirit, the purpose for the Holy Spirit in leading us into all truth is that He would take all the things of Christ, all the Word, and show that, make that known unto us. And that's John 16:14. So again, what John really does here in many different ways, but so thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost, is it changes everything. As we'll read through this, praise God, in the beginning the Word, but the time we get through this, hallelujah, the power of His might brings us not just life, but life more abundantly. And that's what's so beautiful in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost enabling us to know all truth. And not to know it just mentally, but knowing in the sense of the Word of God's knowing, that intimacy between a husband and wife, enabling us, brothers and sisters, to receive Paul's gospel, the mystery of Christ and the church. And see, only the Holy Ghost can take the Word of God and shed that love, because the Word of God is love. But to shed that word in that love abroad in our hearts, in order for us to truly understand that intimacy that Christ wants with us, that knowledge of a husband and wife with Jesus Christ. Obviously, that's Paul's gospel. But would you think that maybe this is why it's said of John, he was the disciple whom Jesus loved? Would you think it's said of John, he was the disciple that laid his head upon his breast? See, brothers and sisters, these weren't mere nice thoughts. This wasn't something to say, wow, that would have really been cool. No, this was really deep and intent with meaning, that this vessel John was being used to show us something very precious. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. That love. See, he was the disciple that Jesus loved. Okay, well, we know Jesus loved them all. Don't get me wrong. But see, it was talking about that, again, to encourage us in that great love wherewith we are loved. See, John, again, was the one, this vessel that was going to be used to bring forth this message of receiving the Holy Ghost. Isn't that wonderful? And again, that we would just rest upon the bosom of Christ, the Word, getting into that rocking chair of grace and truly understanding that, praise be to God, he just loves me. I love him, but it's all because he first loved me. And see, it was the Holy Ghost that was going to bring all of this truth and love doctrine, again, that would be poured out through Paul's gospel. But we'll be encouraged in the Gospel of John. See, not only that Jesus is the Word, not only to believe the Word of God, but that the Word of God is love, that it is truth and love, that as it tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, we could know all mysteries. We could speak with the tongue of men and angels. We could give all of our monies to the poor. I could have faith to move mountains. But if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. Nothing. See, I could give a great speech. I could sit up here and maybe just dazzle folks, or somebody could come up here and dazzle folks with just reciting word after word and line after line and verse after verse and chapter after chapter. Boy, they've got it. But it would be as dead as a doornail if I don't have love. And this is what's so important about this. This is why this Holy Ghost is so imperative through all of this precious study, brothers and sisters, because I don't want to miss the love in the Scripture. If you miss the love, you've missed it all. If you miss the love, you're going to be cold. You're going to be judgmental. You miss the love, you're going to be judging everybody else. You're going to be finding things to criticize. And eventually, we stay in that state, we'll become unteachable. But this Gospel of John, I'll tell you what, it meditates on a good and a lovely report. This is spiritual feeding, brothers and sisters, because it focuses on yielding and submitting to God's choice. And God's choice is his Son. God's choice is his Word. God's choice never changes. It's always in Jesus. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, that's what man tries to do, and that's what man's coming at us all the time. But we understand it's not flesh and blood. This is spiritual wickedness we're dealing with. But we're in different times, and we're in different, you know, ages. And you understand that the Bible doesn't apply to us in the same way. Didn't you know that? We've become so smart that we've got to turn things around. Matter of fact, we can even change wording in the Bible. Matter of fact, we can even omit verses out of the Bible. Matter of fact, we don't even need the Bible. You just come to church, we'll put it up on a screen of what you need to know. Or we'll hand you what you need to know. Let me tell you something. You get your Bible, you know your word, because it's your word. He came to you. Hallelujah. He came for you. And as we'll understand, we were made for him. We're made for him. And I thank the Lord. How comforting it is to know that I wasn't a mistake. lot of people told me that, but I'm no mistake. I've got divine purpose, and you do too. We were made for one thing, to the praise and the glory of His grace. So now, as we go into this tonight, the Lord's encouraged my heart. We're going to move through this study, and I am just praying that this study will encourage you, that it just, again, be an appetizer to go in and search these things out. You're kings. God has called you into that deep truth. But search them out more and more. But tonight, I don't want to leave you wondering, well, wait a second, we only got through three verses. Well, tonight, we're just going to do three verses, because this is such an introduction that the Lord gives us here. We need to spend some time on it. So here we go. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now praise be to God, that's your Jesus. That's your Savior. That's your love. That's the Lamb of God. And what a comfort, praise God, to know that He is all in all. I am. Praise God, what authority, what power, what absolute, again, He's God. The Word was God. And I am so grateful to know that that is the one who loves me, prefers me, hallelujah, favors me. Oh my, I'm so thankful to know that the Word loves me. Now, if anyone ever wondered who Jesus is, here it is. And notice the very first and paramount thing, He's the Word. He's the Word. And I thank God for that. See, I don't need Him on a wall. And I got the greatest picture of Him right here. I see Him, I hold Him, I feel Him. He's all right here. And this is what He's telling us. And this Word is so beautiful in the meaning of it, because it's the audible, that we could hear it, and the visual expression of thought. And you think about the audible and visual expression of thought, and whose thoughts? The audible and visual expression of God. Yes. See, this is, again, was required. This is God's plan. This is why, again, we give Christ Jesus all the praise. He brought to us, hallelujah, He that has seen me has seen the Father. God shown and revealed to us through Christ. God's very thoughts, the very mind of God, the Word. The Word. Isn't that wonderful? See, I mean, this is something that we never could have had. We never could have received. It had to be Jesus. And the Word had to be made flesh and dwelt among us. It had to be. That was the very plan of God. And that's why in Him all fullness dwells. Everything's there. He's the light. He's the power. He's the comfort. It's all in Christ. And we thank God for the all in all that our Lord and Savior is. But all the wealth of divine wisdom of God embodied in Jesus, the Word. You know, you'd think about things we want to know in life. Don't you think you'd want to know the mind of God? Don't you would think you'd want to know the thoughts of God? And I hope that just encourages us. But I hope we really understand His thoughts are towards us. That's what they are. His thoughts towards us are more than the sands of the seas, the stars in heaven. And they understand pretty much those stars in heaven are endless. Yep, you got it. They're endless. That's how for us He is. And this is this incredible God that loves us so, that is so for us. Do you see, if this is the whole thing. If God be for us, who could be against us? That's what I was expressing to my brother today. It was just, oh, brother, He's so for us. You know, He just puts us in these places that we, you know, it appears weak in our flesh, that it appears hopeless in our flesh, that it appears that we don't have no way out in our flesh. But He just wants you to remember, I'm for you. Hear that Word. Attend that ear to Him. I'm here. I'm for you. There's nobody that can be against you. It's just not going to happen. It's true. It's my promise to you, honey. Believe it. Don't just believe it when I show it to you. Believe it because I told it to you. That's the word of God. Calling those things which be not as though they were. That's the word of God. And that's standing on it. That's not just name it, claim it. That's junk. I'm talking about standing on the promises of God. Yes. And I'll wait on those promises. And I'll wait on him. And I know he's faithful and he's able and he will do it. He'll perform it. But I have known my Lord and have read about my Lord and I've lived, praise God, in experience that oftentimes he has me to wait. Yes, that patience, praise the Lord, and the tribulation that works that patience. Amen? Proven, praise God, warriors, the good soldiers. That, Lord, I don't necessarily, I love to sing from the mountaintops, but you know what, if you've got me walking through that desert for some time, you know, knowing this, Christ in this, what one I more? I'll tell you what, by the grace of God, amen? But this is why and what this word does, it encourages us right along. But see, in Scripture, it asks the question, even back in Isaiah and does in the New Testament, who has known the mind of God? Well, I'll tell you what, now through Christ and Christ the Word, we fully know the mind of God. And we do. I'd like you to go over here because the mind of God is the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look what it says over there in such comfort to us. Verse 16, it says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord? That he may instruct him? Is that you and me? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm always asking for that wisdom and instruction and that guiding and that leading. But we have the mind of Christ. Amen? Let this mind be in you. Let it reign in you. Praise God, it's there, isn't it? Just let it reign. Let it be in you. Let it be. And here it is. This is the mind of God. His very perfect plan. How wondrous that we can have such confidence as we walk through with enlarged steps in this world. And Christ the Word, it says here, going back to our text, beginning. He's beginning. Revelation 1 says he's Alpha, Omega. And then we see that the Word was with God. Now that's such a precious a word, that word with, it means fellowship. Weren't just standing there and, you know, let's just be stoic. No, there's great conversation and intimacy. This is the Father and the Son. This is, praise the Lord, when he, you know, said to him, you know, son, let's make man in our own image. Huh? Genesis 1:26, let us make man. Huh? Let us. I remember mentioning that to I know that it's been in the news a lot about Muslim, Islam, and all of those things. But I remember in that plane coming back to Denver from Minneapolis many years ago, there was a young Muslim man sitting next to me, and what an articulate, handsome, just educated, professional, looked so nice in his suit and everything, and I was in the middle seat, and he was on the window, and this other lady is on the right side, and I just felt led of the Lord. Can I inquire to you about what you believe? Because he did. He introduced himself, and he told me he was a Muslim right when I sat down. So I said, well, there's got to be opportunity there. Not opportunity to get mad or have a fight. It was just opportunity. So I said, well, can you tell me a little bit about it? And I said, I have a Bible. And I had a Bible with me. I said, now, this is King James. He says, I'm familiar with King James. And I said, well, what would you accept out of here? And he says, well, I'll tell you what. We would agree with you with Genesis and Exodus. I said, really? I said, oh, that's great. I said, well, continue on. And he said, well, you know, we believe that there's just one God. Allah, that's it. And I said, so nobody was with Allah before that? And I hadn't thought about this or anything of that nature. It was just the God that did it. And I said, now, you did say, you assure me, because we were going, and the Lord already sparked me to just talk to him about this. He said, oh, no, nobody was with God. And I said, now, you're confident that you'll accept Genesis. You sure now? Took him right to Genesis 1:26. And I said, well, then who was God speaking with when he said, let us? That well-mannered, kind man, I'm just going to tell you, the demeanor changed to hatred just like that. Because the word of God, not because it was quiz show time or anything of that nature, the word of God, it gets right down to, it discerns. And I remember the lady on the other side, please don't talk to him no more. He was getting all excited. And I told him, I said, now look, I said, I know God didn't have me here for no reason, but I'll tell you, Jesus Christ is Lord. And you told me that you would accept Genesis and Exodus. So I'll tell you what, there's enough in there to believe in the blood of the Lamb. And that's all I said. And here I am tonight. So we're all good. But that was interesting, wasn't it? But see, this is what this is getting at. You know, the great religions, the two great religions of the world will tell you, oh no, oh no, 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 no. It's just God. Well, it is just God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. There's a Trinity there. And I thank the Lord that it's made very clear here, well, as we start out, there's at least two in the Godhead. And by the grace of God, very quickly, we're going to see clearly there's three. And we thank the Lord. But see, to cut right to the chase, what John is making known without any doubt is the word's deity. John says the word was God. Now again, there's large religions that'll come in and try to say the word was a God. Many of the religions today, big religions that call themselves Christians, do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going in to talk about counterfeits tonight, but I'm talking about the original, the one, the only, I am. He's God, and he is. He's God's Son. And I thank the Lord for that, and all deity to him. Now, see, you'll talk to people, and they might entice you along and say, oh, you know, Jesus was a wonderful prophet, and he was a wonderful teacher, and yeah, he was a son, but, you know, no, he's the Son of God, the Son, the Son. And it's that same life that brings many sons to glory. Isn't that so sweet and precious to know that? That no man cometh to the Father but by him. You must be born again. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That's it. That's it. It's so sweetly perfect. So beautiful because it is the Word. God's plan, God's thoughts, God's love, God's glory, all in the face of him. Everything of God. Can you imagine? The Word. Hallelujah. So it's all there. It's all here. Left us everything. Hallelujah. And he's never left us. In a sense, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And how beautiful he gives us the Word here. But then it's the life of Christ, the Word that lives in us. Isn't that beautiful? So again, it's just that continued feeding that, again, grows this new man. Again, Christ in you. Christ liveth in you, the hope of glory. It grows that man up in Christ. But see, he's not a God, but he's God. He's God's essence. He's absolute deity. He's very God, a very God. Jesus says throughout John, I am in the Father, and he in me. And I love how he told him, he said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. That ruffled a lot of feathers. And it still does today. By those lights that profess it. But I thank God that we stand on the Word. Hallelujah. And by the grace of God, let's be not moved. So again, it leaves no doubt that the Father and the Son, and as we'll get to the Holy Ghost, but the Father and the Son are two unique ones in operation. But they're one. And I always appreciated a brother Hill used to talk about it. He'd put his finger up. He says, I got this finger here, and it's one finger. But this finger's got three joints. It's got this knuckle, got that knuckle, and got that little knuckle. Got three little joints in there. But it's one finger. And they're all in harmony, but they all do a unique thing to move that, to have its operation, but it's one. That's just so absolutely complete in understanding, again, that they're in harmony with the plan of God. And now, again, thinking about how this points us to being filled with all the fullness of God. See, going back to once more again, think of this John and this writing. This depicts one of those beasts and of those four living ones, that eagle that soars over it all. Brothers and sisters, the only way we're ever going to soar over it all is the Word of God. It's the Word. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? See, we've tried. I know we have. And if we take some breath, we'll still try again, unfortunately. But we'll try to do things on our own. We'll try to do things because, well, this was a wind of doctrine that I listened to for a moment. I've got a college man back there and some other college kids. They're hearing lots of winds of doctrine. But then the beautiful thing is what they know. They know Christ. And you stand in Christ. And it's beautiful as I talk to these ones that, you know, go through school. And, you know, sometimes they get a little bit rattled. But by the time they go through, praise God. And as they stayed in the Word of God, they understand even more so, oh, the foolishness of man. The wisdom of man is foolishness to God. Isn't that wonderful to know? See, if you went all the way through school and you really found that out, you really learned something. Amen? See, that wasn't a wasted education at all. That was a good education. And then the Lord may use some of that foolishness. Praise God for his glory in your life. And I thank God how he does these things. But see, brothers and sisters, it really gets to the point where we understand it's all the Word of God. It's the power of the Word of God working in us. It's knowing those scriptures and believing in those scriptures. And again, the peace that passes all understanding and the joy and peace in believing the Word of God. Isn't that wonderful? So this is why, again, through the power of the Holy Ghost that is brought out in John, that's where we really understand this Word in my life must increase. Amen? He must increase. The Word must increase. Amen? Praise God. The knowledge of it, the love of it, hallelujah, all of that. And then as that increases, I must decrease, truly to the point I've just disappeared. So that my life, by God's grace, is the mind of Christ. It's this. It just operates. It just walks right through. It doesn't think like man thinks. It thinks in the Word of God. It moves in the Word of God. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, Christ showed us. And that's what's so beautiful about John. We're going to read about the life of Christ. We're going to read about Christ Jesus, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, I know he's very God of very God, but he's very man of very man. And he showed us that with him, you know what? There's nothing hard. All things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me by the power of his might. And that power of his might is to know his love for me and to know the truth. Amen? We can witness of this, brothers and sisters, truly. When we truly are yielding to God, thankful in the Lord, and truly the Spirit full of the Holy Ghost power, you don't worry. There's a strength. There's a joy. Even when you're sick, even when you're not feeling well, even when events that hit you. But when we're weak, oh my, it's amazing what can blow us over. Huh? But in the power of his might, in the fullness of the Holy Ghost, and in believing in the Word of God, there's joy and peace in a furnace, in a lion's den, as we've got the armies behind us and a sea in front of us. Nothing's hard for my God. Amen? Nothing's hard for my God. And this is who my God is. It's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, in that, everything, anything, and all things in our life need to glorify him. Give him the glory. Isn't that wonderful that we can give him the glory? That we know that it's him that works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure? It's the Word of God. So see, John leaves no doubt that Jesus is God. John then declares that without Jesus, This is beautiful too. Without Jesus, not one thing has come into existence. He is the creator of all things. He is the originator of all things. Go with me over to Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This even expands on it more and so beautifully. There's so many parts and places in the Word of God, but again, just to embrace this and rejoice in it tonight. But Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Now, it even gets better. Whether they be thrones. Do you think He puts up whom He will and down whom He will? Huh? You think He gave you that teacher and professor and everyone that's ever been over you in your life? I believe it. The bad boss, the good boss. Made you a boss? I don't know. Huh? So whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him. Oh, and this even gets better. And for Him. And He is before all things. Isn't that wonderful too? See, nothing catches Him unaware. He doesn't ever have to catch up. He is before all things. You can read that in a lot of different ways, but He's all in all. And by Him, all things consist. Oh, I love that. See, again, what's so wonderful about all of those things that we just read is to know that you were made for Him. You were made for Him. It's all for Him, but you were made for Him. And praise God, you were made for Him as the divine purpose of anything that was ever made, to be to the praise and the glory of His grace. Hallelujah. That we could truly grow up into Him in all things. And see, know this, it's not just what was formed, but again, everything that goes on in this life, it's by Him. It's by Him. See, that's the peace that passes all understanding. It's all by Him. That's why Romans 8 is so true in your life. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And the reason is because all things were made by Him and for Him. And without Him, nothing was made. All things consist and hold together. See, we even have to understand, as it says in Proverbs 6:4, He's appointed even the wicked for the day of evil. See, He knows ones like Pharaoh. He knows ones like Pharaoh. He knows their hearts. And He'll harden that heart. And He'll give you a specific special duty if you want to be evil. Oh, and there's ones just raising their hands for that. God knows who they are. He appoints Hitlers out there and all these different ones. I hope you understand that. That didn't surprise God at all. He knew. Read the Word of God. Understand these things. Understand when Moses went back there. God even shared with Moses what Pharaoh's heart would be. I'm sure every time Pharaoh would open his mouth, Moses just smiled and said, "Oh, I am that I am. I'm glad I know you. Glad I know you." A little Jew in front of that great, colossal Egypt and the Pharaoh. But yet he knew who was pulling all the strings. He knew where all the hearts were right there. He knew that they couldn't do a thing without God not just allowing it, but appointing it to be done. That's incredible, isn't it? That's who loves you. That's who loves us. This is the power that we're talking about here. This is the awesomeness. You hear this all the time. But this is the true awesomeness. Awesomeness. who is our God? They don't even have words for it, and I'd mess them up anyways. But think about this. So he is the beginning. He's the beginning with God, and he is God. And all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The word, we'll just touch on this for a minute, spoke forth all the plan of God in Genesis 1. It's so beautiful. If you go back to Genesis 1, 8 times in the first chapter of Genesis, it says, and God said. That's the word. The word said. That's why all things were made by him, for him. He spoke it. He's the word. He's the audible. He's the express thought of God. Isn't that wonderful? So he spoke this. He said, and God said, the word said, let there be light. And God said, the word said, let there be a firmament in the midst of heaven, of the waters. Then he said, God said, let the earth bring forth vegetation and trees, and on and on. And all of it so, and all of it good. The word. The word. Now I'm going to ask you, if the word can do all that, what can't he do for you? It's the truth, isn't it? I'm a lot harder case than the universe, Jesse. You don't realize that. They've never seen spinning like my head. But as much and as immense and as incredible as all that is, again, that was just spoken. You were made, created, a vessel to contain the treasure. Him. Isn't that beautiful? So of all of that, and all of that splendor, and all of that wonder, here sits little you. You and you and you and you. And that's why I said, I would that all men. Do you see how grieved when he, the joy that he endured the cross, but yet still knowing. But you were made for the treasure, to possess the treasure. That little earthen vessel. That was kind of sad the other day. And don't get me wrong, I love my puppy. But even man now has put dogs and cats almost on a higher pedestal than a man. And I'm looking at the wonder work of God. And then here he's made you. But then here is that choice of yielding, of taking what he's given so freely, and to bestow the wonder of his love. That's what keeps me coming back up here. I think I'm drawn to how much he loves you. I do. It's like waves of anointing upon you. I pray we know it. So, vessels to possess the treasure. Oh, I believe we can call us vessels of mercy, huh? Everything from this amazing, wonderful life beyond. But his life, the word, is in us. He's the vine, and we're the branches. Isn't that beautiful? It's the seed that remains. It's Christ that liveth in me. Now, we're going to wrap this up tonight. But here's where the incredible splendor comes. Yes, we've got I Am. We've got Alpha Omega. We've got divine beyond. And I thank God that we have heard that precious message and believe this word, probably all of us here tonight, for years. But maybe a little more encouragement. This is your husband to be. This is your husband to be. Now listen to that. You got to let that soak in. See, because that's where the Lord really hit me this past week.
He just said, now, son, you got to hear me. When I speak to you, I'm speaking to my bride. I want you to hear me with that ear. I want you to go back and let the Spirit read this to you as me, your bridegroom. I'm telling you about me, your husband. Now, I love to look at him as awesome God. Don't get me wrong. But this is my awesome husband. You know, it's kind of like sitting down and, you know, you're falling in love and all of this wonderful stuff. And, you know, and then it's like, oh, my gosh. I just loved you for who you were and how you are and how you love me and how incredible you are. But you're this too? This is your family? Your father's God? All his benefits to me? I guess I think more about this now. I got two kooky kids that are getting in that age. But think of that. Receive it like that. This is our bridegroom. This is our bridegroom. Oh my goodness, I'll tell you what, I didn't know if I was sitting around as an old man dreaming dreams or if I was a young kid having visions. You know, Joel said that. But all I know is, praise be to God, he started really opening this up to me. Stepping back a little bit and thinking about what he was saying here, and it was so precious. He took me right to Genesis 24. Can you imagine that? Now, how could we get Genesis 24 in here? Well, I'm telling you, it's the Word of God. It's line upon line and precept upon precept. And just stay with me for a second as we close this up. But if you remember about Genesis 24 again, that's the bride for Isaac. Amen? And it says back there that Abraham sent all that he had to the people. It says that. He sent all that he had to the people. And he sent all that he had to find one, the one, that would be the goodly pearl, the bride for his son. Amen? And he sent all that he had. That's exactly what God is giving us here in his son. He gave us all that he has. He's given us everything. Amen? Everything. Everything's in his son. And he freely gave him the word to us. And here's what's so beautiful is that when he gave this to this precious Rebecca, and if I might add too as well, when he gave the word to us, the word became flesh. Amen? See, Rebecca was told of the bridegroom. Amen. And by hearing the word of God, that word became flesh to her. She could see him. She could fall in love with him. And that's what this word does. Oh, yes. It's like people say, well, I've got a picture of him over here. I've got the picture of him right here. See him. And there's no more beautiful picture. And there's no more beautiful picture that I've ever seen. And there's no more beautiful picture that I even see so clearly as I see the face of my beloved in the Word of God. And you think again as how was it ministered to Rebecca at the well, the Word. It was all at the well. Well, that's our Christ. He's the well. And she was given the whole well. She was given that whole well. And praise God. See, we're only through the first three verses, but see what's coming next week, God willing, is John the Baptist. That one that would be, as it says, the bearing witness of the light, the inspirer. He would bear witness. It's exactly what the Holy Ghost does. But even more so, he takes it and he shows it unto us. He's the power of his might and all of these things. So I go back and I encourage you. Hear this as the bride. Hear it. Don't let just be reading. And I'm not saying it's not encouraging. It's just as reading. Don't get me wrong. But allow the Holy Ghost to inspire you
as you read through this, this is your husband. This is glory we're talking about here. Sure, we've fallen in love with his heart, his grace, that his he first loved us, but oh my, who our husband is and what he will jointly share with us. Well, here it is. Think of this, the glory of his, the glory that's right here, as it says, that was with the Father in Jesus, that glory, the Word, that is the glory that she will have. Did you know that? That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is working and growing in them that believe. And it's the same glory, the glory right here in those first three wondrous verses. That is the glory that will descend from heaven in her. That's the glory that will be displayed for all to see, that she is the glory of him, that she is the glory of the Lamb, that yes, she has the glory of God. Your husband. I'm not just reading about the great God. I'm reading about my husband. I know some sweet couples out there that didn't get married for the husband just to say, "No, you just get behind me, and I'll tell you when to come out, and I'll tell you when to move." No, a true husband even allows the lady to walk before her. Where do you think we got that? It's from here. She's his glory. He wants us to get it. That he loves us like that. That's what he wants us to share with him, is this glory. Who he is. She has the very glory of God. I don't know how that's going to work. I can't imagine. But I sure can believe. And I mean, I really can believe. I can know that his promises are true. And I know nothing's hard for him. But brothers and sisters, this is what it is. Oh yes, praise God, what the Holy Ghost can do in us. But in closing, as we journey through it, by the grace of God, let's see it from the heights. I believe, too, there was a reason that John was used to be the writer of the book of Revelation. It's the truth. There's so much. And again, we're just seeing it in a glass darkly. But it's getting more exciting all the time. Now, Lord, what's in there? I know the Holy Ghost is strumming something across here. What is in there? But I'll tell you, John was taken in Revelation to see the Beloved, the magnificent, marvelous, all-powerful God in that light. That someday, by God's grace, will be our bridegroom, our husband throughout eternity. And I pray that this would be such a great encouragement to us, to ready us. And how we become even more ready is overwhelming thankfulness. It's the truth. And the only way my thankfulness can grow truly is to know more of his truth and love. Do you know that? More light upon light. I want the thankfulness to just explode every time. Not that I want that, but I know that the Lord does that. But I know it's the Holy Ghost that does it, because he takes us, yea, into the deep chambers. Yea, the deep things of God. So that someday, praise God, we can say, oh yes, the wife hath made herself ready. And oh, praise God, what a glory that will be. Amen. So we'll move along as we go, if the Lord tarry. And God willing, we'll get into that marvelous light. And we'll move on with that, you know, that one who was kind of kooky, that John the Baptist. And how he loved to just bear witness, be encouraged. God help us to just follow on. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.